Our reading comes from the book of Judges, chapter 4, verse 1 to 10. When Ehud was dead, the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord sold them in the land of Jabin, king of Canaan, who resided in Hazor. The commander of his army was Sisera, who dwelt in Horosheth Hagoyim. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord, for Jabin had 900 chariots of iron, and for 20 years he had harshly oppressed the children of Israel. Now Deborah, prophetess, the wife of Lapidoth, was judging Israel at that time, and she would sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the mountains of Ephraim, and the children of Israel came up to her for judgment. Then she sent and called for Barak, the son of Abinadab, from Kadesh in Naphtali, and said to him, has not the Lord God of Israel commanded, go and deploy troops and at Mount Tabor, take with you 10,000 men of the sons of Naphtali and the sons of Zebulun. And against you, I will deploy Sisera, the commander of Jabin's army, with his chariots and his multitude at the river Kishon, and I will deliver him into your hand. And Barak said to her, if you will go with me, then I will go. But if you will not go with me, I will not go. So she said, I will surely go with you. Nevertheless, there will be no glory for you in the journey you are taking, for the Lord will sell Sisera into the hand of a woman. Then Deborah arose and went with Barak to Kadesh. And Barak called Zebulun and Naphtali to Kadesh. He went up with 10,000 men under his command, and Deborah went up with him. And that's the word of God.
Right, so we're in the second week of our Women in the Bible series, a series that explores and celebrates some of the stories about women that are recorded in the scriptures. And this evening we come to the story of Deborah, or Deborah as some people might say. We were having a conversation in the back when we were praying whether it's pronounced Deborah or Deborah. I'm going to go with Deborah for this evening. But she was a prophetess, a judge, and a mother in Israel according to scripture. And there's only two chapters that deal with Deborah's life, but it's a very interesting consideration, and we're going to be looking at that this evening. But before we come to her story, we need to do some groundwork to put her story in context. Before the time of Judges, Joshua had led the tribes of Israel into the promised land, and as Moses had done before him, he called the people to worship God and live according to his laws, in order that it might go well for them, and in order that the other nations would see who God truly is. Judges begins with the death of Joshua and proceeds to tell the rather sad story of Israel's failure to live according to God's ways. The sad story of how they rejected God's laws and became no different to the surrounding nations. God had called them to be a holy people, but they ended up becoming just like the Canaanites, even adopting their religious practices like child sacrifices. And so began a repetitive downward cycle. The Israelites would fall into sinful patterns, so God would allow them to be conquered until eventually they would see the error of their ways and repent. So God would raise up a judge who would speak to the people on his behalf, and they would be delivered from their sinful patterns, the enemies would be defeated, and the Israelites would enter an era of peace. But eventually, Israel would sin again, and the cycle would start all over again. I wonder if we relate to this sobering example of the human condition in any way. Do we sometimes find ourselves drifting towards sinfulness in times when things are going smoothly? only to find that our worlds crumble apart, and then we desperately cry out to God to rescue us, and God does, and instead of worshiping God and living for God, the cycle begins again and we drift towards sin. Ultimately, we're all in desperate need of grace. We're all in need of Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. And He, of course, is greater than any of the human judges that the book of Judges deals with. But if there's one lesson that we need to learn from the Old Testament narrative, I think it's this, that we're called to follow God all the days of our lives, never turning to the left or to the right, but to live for His glory in every season. So let's be encouraged by that, whether things are going brilliantly or whether we're in a real struggle, let's be people who live every day for the glory of God, not like the Israelites who had this repetitive cycle of entering sinfulness, being rescued by God, and then going back into sin. Let's live for God's glory. After the death of Joshua, judges were appointed in the land to offer direction to the people on behalf of God. But as I've already mentioned, things generally didn't go quite as they should have gone. The first two judges were Othniel and Ehud, and then thirdly, Deborah. Let's turn to Judges chapter 4. And as we do, we see in the first three verses that the people of Israel again did what was evil in the sight of the Lord after Ehud died. And so the Lord sold them into the hand of Jabin, king of Canaan, who oppressed the people of Israel cruelly for 20 years. As we get to verse 4, which is when we're first introduced to Deborah, we see that she is already a judge. And we're not told how she became a judge, noting that she is the only female to have been a judge in Israel. Nor are we told why she is called a prophetess, but we are told the manner in which she settled disputes. This is verse 5. She used to sit under the palm tree of Deborah between Ramah and Bethel in the hill country of Ephraim, and the people of Israel came up to her for judgment. So it seems that Deborah was known as a woman of great wisdom, and she would hear and decide cases that were brought to her. It's also not quite clear from Scripture why there was an absence of male leadership at the time, but it is clear that Deborah had great influence and was used by God in a wonderful way. Deborah refers to herself as a mother in Israel, as recorded in Judges chapter 5, verse 7. And she appears to have loved Israel with a paternal kind of love. Dissatisfied with the national state of oppression at the hands of King Jabin, and filled with faith in the living God, she sent for Barak and implored him to call the army to fight against King Jabin and the Canaanites. His response, however, was that he would only go into battle if she came along. Of course, this isn't a very manly thing to do, is it? And Barak is told that the Lord would give the victory into the hands of a woman because of his apparent cowardice. Nonetheless, Barak leads the army against Sisera, the commander of the Canaanite army, and the Israelites completely destroy them. The only one to escape is Sisera, who flees from the battle and seeks refuge with a woman, Jael, who kills him, which is another story for another day. But the biblical account of Deborah ends with the statement that there was peace in the land for 40 years after the battle. I want us to take three lessons from the story of Deborah this evening. The first is that Deborah faithfully obeyed God. The second is that Deborah trusted God wholeheartedly. The third is that Deborah remembered the Lord after the battle. Deborah faithfully obeyed God, which in her case included faithfully delivering words of prophecy to the people. Verse 4 tells us that Deborah was a prophetess, which means that she spoke, that the Lord spoke through her to the people, probably as she sat under the palm tree that is mentioned in the following verse. Of great consequence was the message from the Lord that she faithfully conveyed to Barak. Go, gather your men at Mount Tabor, taking 10,000 from the people of Naphtali and the people of Zebulun, and I will draw out Sisera, the general of Jabin's army, to meet you in the river Kishon with his chariots and his troops, and I will give him into your hand. And that was the word of the Lord to Barak through Deborah, who faithfully spoke these words. And as we know, a great victory ensued. We can be inspired by Deborah's willingness and courage to obey God and to deliver his messages to the people. And secondly, Deborah trusted God. I think it's quite clear that Deborah trusted God with all of her heart. And she inspired others to do the same. She inspired others to trust God. At the time, most of the Israelites, including Barak, stood on the sidelines in fear, afraid of the enemy's 900 chariots of iron. It must be said that 900 chariots of iron was indeed a great number. And in a natural sense, they were right to be afraid. But how much greater is our God than anything that might stand against us? Deborah knew this full well and trusted God with all her heart. God raised her up to be an influential position in Israel because of her faith and courage. We too are called to trust God and to inspire others to do the same. Thirdly, Deborah remembered the Lord after the battle. Judges 5 is known as the Song of Deborah, a song of celebration and remembrance, commemorating the great victory, even as it was sung in years to come. Within the song, Deborah gives honor to God, remembering that this great victory has come from his hand. We do well to remember the things that God has done in our lives. Again, I think sometimes we go through struggles, and when God brings deliverance of one kind or another, we make it successfully through the struggle, having prayed as we've been through it, we move on with our lives, forgetting that it is God who's brought us through. It's God who's delivered us. It's God who's been gracious to us. We need to be a people who remember the Lord after the battle. And Deborah did that well, and we can learn to do the same from her life. So three lessons that we can learn from Deborah. Deborah faithfully obeyed God, and we're called to do the same. Deborah trusted God with all of her heart. We're called to do likewise. And Deborah remembered the Lord after the battle. Let's be a people who faithfully obey God, trust God, and remember God after the battle. Amen.